I was trying to think of times in my life that I haven't fitted in. And there's been a number, but the two things that came to mind immediately were two times overseas. The first was when we went to Malawi, Africa in the year 2000. 13 of us on a short-term mission trip arrived in Malawi. And we soon learnt a word, unzungu. And we knew the word was about us because it was always accompanied by pointing, unzungu, unzungu, unzungu. And we asked the missionaries what it meant, and they said, white. And we realized very quickly that as we came into villages on the back of a ute, 13 white people, and everyone came out to see the spectacle, that we just didn't belong there, we didn't fit in, we were kind of strangers in that world. The second time that I really knew I didn't fit in was in Harlem, New York City, as we went to a grocery store. Apparently skin colour was an issue for us there too. And this lady just decided that she didn't want us in her shop. And the way she made that known by was not letting us through the aisle. So we tried to walk up the aisle and she was playing this best basketball defence. And every time I moved to the right, she shadowed me. I just couldn't get through. In the end, I had to walk around the next aisle to get past her. There's a couple of things I noticed as I was thinking about this idea of not fitting in. First is, I like to fit in. I like to be liked. I like to be a part of the crowd and very comfortable to do so. The second is, I realise that actually most of my life I have fitted in. In many ways, life's been fairly comfortable for me. And I know that's not the case for all people. Many people find that they don't fit in at all in their general life. And I thought, well, for me that hasn't been the case. As I've been reflecting on that, as we've been starting this book in 1 Peter, I was actually praying for a nephew who started in a new school in Perth this week, and my prayer was that he would fit in. And then I thought, actually, that's not a very good prayer, is it, for Christians? Because we're not meant to fit in as Christians. We don't belong here. We're misfits in society. Fitting in isn't what we're meant to do. If anything, we should be training our kids not to fit in, to toughen up, to be different, because they're Christians, and therefore they will never fit in. And so as we go into this series, we're going to be thinking a lot about that. As Peter now writes this letter to five provinces in Asia Minor, and this letter will be sent to them and read to them, and it's to encourage them because things are going difficult for them. The Christians are having a hard time where they're living. And it's kind of not really bad, like they're not getting arrested or killed for their faith, but society is kind of against the Christians. The government's against them, the workplace is against them, they're getting some verbal abuse, even in some people's homes, things are against them. And we find actually things in Albany in 2021 are very much like the world that 1 Peter was written into. As we reflect on that through this letter, we're going to find it's actually quite poignant for us to be thinking about these things at this time in our history in Australia. I just want to look at the first two verses to start with, as we kind of look at the language that Peter uses to talk to these misfits, I guess, people who don't actually fit here in the world, that they don't belong. And so verses 1 and 2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. These first verses that we're looking at today kind of introduce many of the major themes that we'll see through the book of 1 Peter. But it's interesting the way that Peter names these people. He calls them elect exiles. Elect exiles. Elect because, like the people of the Old Testament, the people of Israel, God's people, they've been chosen by God. They're his people, chosen to be his people. Strangers, or exiles, or strangers, because they don't belong here. This is not actually their home. For the Christian, heaven is our home and not on earth. And so on earth, we'll always be strangers. We'll always be misfits and we won't quite belong. Anyone who follows Jesus, that's our lot in life. To be chosen strangers, if you like, living here on earth. We will never fully fit in. We'll always be outsiders. We'll always be strangers. Of course, that should therefore reflect the way we think about our Christianity, the way we think about our children being raised in this generation. And there's much to be thinking about for that throughout this series. But notice in this introduction that it's the triune God himself who has chosen us to become his people, and we belong to him. God the Father has chosen us. The Spirit has set us apart to be separate. And the Son, the Lord Jesus, has shed his blood for us to forgive us of our sins. And in response, we're obedient to him by faith. We accept by faith what he's done for us, and we live by faith in obedience to him. And then he finishes with this greeting. He says, "Grace and peace be yours in abundance," or "may grace and peace multiply to you." And if you're thinking about people who are in a world where they don't fit and they don't belong, then grace and peace are a wonderful thing to be given by God. So very much like Albany, as we look at this series. And we're going to be looking at the topic of hope in hostility, because it's a letter that will bring great hope to the people who receive it and great hope to us as we seek to live out countercultural Christian lives in the world that we've been put into. And my hope is that you'd leave today with a real and tangible hope in your heart. And the way that we're going to do that is by seeing that hope is found as we look upwards, as we look forwards, and as we look backwards. And then we'll see how that works its way out in our everyday life. So upwards, forwards, backwards, and then our everyday lives. So let's first think about looking upwards. And it's worth noticing that verses 3 to 12 are one long continuous sentence in the Greek. And it starts with the words, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, if you're waiting to hear some great words from the great Peter the Apostle about encouragement and how he empathizes with the hard time that you're getting, to hear the very first words, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Because Peter's reflex is to look upwards first, rather than that their own circumstances. And I don't know if that's your reflex when you go through tough times, or when life's hard, or you get sick, or insults are given to you, to look up rather than in to your own circumstances. But I gather that's the natural reflex of the Christian, to look up. But we kind of have this counter voice in us. And I was thinking about that as we went through that Real Lives event recently. And I was thinking that's probably the time as a church that we've had the most vocal opposition to us being Christian. We had protesters across the road. We were in the newspapers. We were on the news. We were in social media everywhere. We had people writing to us to say that God hates us. That we're homophobes, that we're a danger to society, which kind of hurts when we're actually trying to help and love our community, but that was what was coming to us. And what was our natural response to that? Well, I can tell you my natural response was to try to complain or to win or to get the last word or say the cleverest thing to get even. But that's not the first word that Peter gives here. His first word is to look to God in praise. Because as he looks to God, the awesome triune God of the world, that puts our suffering in perspective. It changes the way that we think about how we're living now as we first look up. As we take our eyes off self and put our eyes on him and his grandeur. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Or more literally, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so for many of us, that's actually a bit of a rebuke for us in our times of suffering and trouble. For when we don't look to God first, when we look to self, we seek justice retribution rather than our praise being to God. So having looked up, Peter now causes his listeners to look forwards, rather than focusing on the here and now, to focus into the future. So let's look at verses 3 to 5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, the reason praise comes so easy to Peter's lips is because he's not actually focusing on the here and now. His eyes are glancing forward. In God's great mercy, he says, God has given us three things, which actually turned out just to be one thing, but said in three different ways. By God's great mercy, the Christians in Asia Minor, and us as well, have been given new birth into a living hope. We've been given an inheritance that can't be diminished or reduced in value, and we've been given salvation through faith. And everything about those things is looking to the future. We've been born anew, and we've been given a hope, but these things are in the future. The inheritance which is kept in heaven for us, we have not yet received. The salvation from our sin, yes, it's sure right now, but we haven't been saved because we haven't stood in front of the judge yet. That will come in eternity as we look forward. Those things are sure right now because Jesus has died. He's risen with faith in him. Yes, we are saved. We will inherit heaven, but we haven't received them yet. And God will shield us as we wait by his great power, as we keep holding on in faith. Now, I remember one morning in Perth going for a run where there was a pea soup type fog. It was so thick that you could just about eat it, and you certainly couldn't see through it. And when I run, I like to be able to look into the future, to the horizon, to the future when I'm finished running, but into the distance, to the corner I'm running to or whatever, and I like to have my head up. It helps me as I run. But on this day, I just couldn't see anything. You look up, and it's just like a blank wall in front of you. So I found that I had to run looking at my feet or looking just the few meters in front of you. And I found it really difficult. It was a hard run because of that, really difficult. And so it is with Peter. He's encouraging his followers here, these people, these Christians, these misfits in society, that if you look at the here and now, if you look at your feet, you'll find it very difficult to run the Christian life. You need to lift your head and look through the fog into eternity. And very clearly, he shows us what is in that eternity, this new life that we've been given, this living hope, this inheritance, this salvation that is ours in him. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, if you're like me, you find it much easier to live for the here and now than you do to live for eternity. There's something about that fog that makes us forget about eternity and rather focus on the here and the now. But everything in our life, everything in our society is urging us to live for now. Have your best life now. You be you. Live for yourself. Do what's right for you. But the word of the Bible is live for eternity. Store up treasures in heaven. Live for the future. Live now for the sake of eternity and not for now. Lift your head. Look forward to what God has given us. And that's the way to run the race each day. That's where hope is found as we trust in him looking forwards. Now, it's interesting that next Peter causes the readers to look backwards. And we're kind of used to telling people to look backwards because we're always telling you to look back to the cross, to the death and resurrection of Jesus, which secures our salvation and makes all things new. But here Peter actually goes back further than the cross to give encouragement for their future. And so let's have a look at verses 10 to 12. It says, concerning the salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit, sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. It's interesting as people often talk about the good old days, reflecting into the past. Peter wants to remind these guys in Asia Minor, first century, you guys are blessed because of when you live. Not where you live, but when you live. All previous generations of believers longed to live when you do. Even the prophets, he said, they wrote about the times that you're now living in, the times on the other side of the death and resurrection of Jesus. And you get to live there now. You're blessed to be born when you do. Even the angels long for what you get. Sure, the angels see the glory of salvation, but they'll never experience it. They'll never hear the gospel, repent from their sin, and be saved like you will. The time that you live is an incredible time to live. And friends, you and I in 2021 live in the same era as these people in Asia Minor. We live on this side of the cross, on this side of the death and resurrection of Jesus. The next thing that's going to happen in salvation history is that Jesus will return at any moment. But we live in the era of the gospel, where the gospel has been preached, where we can talk of the Lord Jesus who died for us, where we can be saved by him. I hear more and more younger people saying that they're not going to have children. Read something recently about young men having vasectomies early because they say, how could I bring a child into this world? As they contemplate the evil generation that we live in. And to be fair, of the 200 plus years of since white settlement in Australia, we're kind of living in the hardest time for a Christian right now, you would say, and it's probably only going to get harder. But we're not without hope because we live in the age of the gospel. We live in the age where Jesus has died, has risen, has sent his Spirit, and people can be saved by that gospel. And you and I get to live in that, as do our children, as will our grandchildren, as will their children as well. The age of opportunity to be saved by Jesus. We're not in a world without hope. Things look bleak, but we still have Jesus. Well, having reflect on the fact that we don't belong here on earth, that looking up will change our perspective, looking forward will give us hope to live for now, looking backwards will help us as we think about the time that we live, how do we live our hope-filled life in this world at the moment? Verses 6 to 9. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come to you that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now, Peter doesn't want to underestimate the trials and suffering that these people are going through in terms of living as a Christian in this world. He just wants to redefine them. He wants them to see the trials differently to how they are. And then he starts using words like rejoicing in your trials or being filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Well, how does all that work? Well, firstly, he reminds us that these trials are just for a little while. A little while. Now, by saying that, he doesn't know that by the end of the year, things in Asia Minor will have all settled down and life will be honky-dory, or by the end of 2021, COVID will have gone and things will be honky-dory. What he's talking about is, compared to eternity, living now in this life is just for a little while. Our trials are short, but eternity is long. Suffer for a moment and enjoy God for all time. Secondly, he says these trials are actually good for your faith. They have a similar effect to your faith that fire does on gold. They prove your faith and they improve your faith, or they grow your faith. They purify your faith. And we've kind of seen that already as we've been working through the Abraham series, that God tested Abraham to see whether he would give up his only son, if you remember, up that mountain. And God grew him as he tested him. And God wants us to think about our trials like that, as an opportunity to embrace trials because they test our faith, and to see if our faith is actually true and genuine or real, to see if we just fall over or we keep holding on to God. I've always said that when hard times come, you'll either become a God kicker or a God clinger. You'll either cling on to God with all of your life, trusting in him to get you through this time, or you'll kick him and you'll blame him and you'll turn away from him. But for those who trust in him, the trial ends up improving our faith. It ends up growing our faith. It ends up refining us and giving it more value after all. And the end of verse 7, we see that the person who stands through the trials, praise, glory, and honor will be theirs on the last day when the sons and daughters of God are revealed. So trials, suffering, it's not something to whinge about, not something to complain about. It's an opportunity for us to embrace, to test our faith and to see our faith grow as we long for God, as we hold on to him. And there's that promise that by his power, he will shield us, shield our faith as we walk through them. And so we keep believing, we keep loving Jesus, and we keep on going, and that fills us with a great joy, an inexpressible and glorious joy. And so when we think about trials, suffering, difficult times, the Christian can actually just smile a little. Not because we're sadists, but because that God's using them for his glory and his work in our lives. We're to expect it. We don't belong here. Earth is not our home. Heaven is our home. And so as we look forward at what he's going to give us, as we look up at who he is, I look backwards at the time that he's given us to live, then we can embrace the times that are in front of us. Now, of course, this talk from 1 Peter really just is an introduction. Many of the things that we've touched on today will be fleshed out more fully as we go through this series. But I wonder if there's something from this talk that you really needed to hear today. And so I've given sort of a 5-point summary now of one of these things. What is it that you most needed to hear today? And they'll be on the screen. Did you need to hear that you're only a temporary resident here on earth? That you don't actually belong here, that heaven is actually your home? Did you need to hear that in all circumstances we should look up first, looking at our glorious God rather than our circumstances? Did you need to hear that we should not live for now, but for later? Live for later and not for now. See past the fog into eternity. Did you need to hear that of all the generations who have ever walked this earth, We are privileged to live when we live. There's great hope. Jesus has come. He's died. He's risen. And we are awaiting his return. Or did you need to hear that trials and suffering are just a short while, and we can actually rejoice and have joy in them because they will grow us? I'll give you a moment to think about those things and bring them to God in prayer, but maybe just one of those is the one that you'll focus on this week, and I'll pray for you in a moment. Father, as we think about the age that we live and just the changes of what it's like to be a Christian just in the last few years, you know, we could be paralyzed by fear and scared of the future. But we're people who trust in you, and we know that this world is in your control. You're the king. You sit on the throne. And so we put our trust in you. Help us to trust you through this week's events, whether that's in our home, in our workplace, in society, wherever we happen to be. And give us the ability to live as your people, even though hostility might accompany our words and our actions. Lord, give us hope, we pray. And thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.